Musiktheoretische Grundbegriffe der elektronischen Musik sind der Ton, der Klang, das Tongemisch, das Geräusch und der Zusammenklang. Ich wiederhole, der Ton, der Klang, das Tongemisch, das Geräusch und der Zusammenklang.
Radio Woltersdorf and Pi Radio equals Super Radio 2025.
Interessant, ne?
Live from the Super Booth 2025 from a mobile studio.
End of file.
End of file und Ende, die letzte Stunde, das Ende der Superboost ist nah für heute. Morgen geht's hier weiter, allerdings nicht auf 88,4 und auf 90,7 in Potsdam. Wir haben heute den ganzen Tag hier gesendet mit Frank und Jero und Pete und ganz vielen anderen Leuten. Im Moment sitzen hier noch mit mir Patrick Catani oder Candy Hank oder Ilte, Melissa Dean, Victoria Caddy. Ja. Diese haben uns jetzt auch sind noch dazugekommen und ich dachte, ihr kennt euch, warum auch immer, weil ich Victoria kennengelernt habe durch Frank Brettschneider, jetzt neulich.
Nee, wir haben uns noch nie getroffen. Melissa kommt mir irgendwie bekannt vor, ja. Aber...
So Melissa, you said you're also with a band and he says you look familiar and we're wondering, like, what's the connection?
You have seen.
Yeah, I'm part of a band called The Blow. I'm half of a duo, yeah, and I'm working on a solo project right now, even though my band is actually still together. We're both working on other projects right now, but we've played here a bunch, so.
On the Superbooth?
No.
Oh, in Berlin.
In Berlin,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Victoria, you're at the moment as a visiting artist in Berlin, right?
Yes.
And you're... And you said you speak a little bit of German, which sounded very charming to me. And why is that? Because you're kind of connected with the Goethe Institute.
I've worked with them. Mm-hmm. I worked with a couple of different institutions, but I've been here kind of back and forth between New York and Germany, between Berlin and also Frankfurt with the Max Planck Institute and things like this. But for a lot of studies with musicology and kind of studying phonetics and our shifting language. Yeah.
Oh.
So I've been interested in this.
Yeah. Okay. And we met because I happened to come to your exhibition at Liebig 12, which is still going on until Sunday.
No, right? It's actually going on all month.
Great.
It's for 30 days. It's a cumulative composition, actually, between four cities simultaneously. So it's between Bogota, Colombia, New York, which is, of course, the U.S., Berlin, and Athens. And I built a closed circuit network where we can exchange back and forth freely with video and sound that's not being parented by any sort of organization, corporation, or other sort of entity, which is really a kind of free space. Yeah.
And on the same night when I saw your show, you also played a concert at the Galilea Kirche with Frank Brettschneider, and I think you are label mates.
Yes, we are label mates.
So how come you have a German label?
Well, don't really know.
Which is Raster Noton.
Yeah, it was really fantastic to meet up with Olaf and Raster, and just one thing led to another when I was over here for a few months. I was here for about 6 months, and I was working on new works with... I was building a kind of neural instrument that works between similarity and difference with vocal information, so sound, you know, people's voices. And I've been coming up with making like live performances and arrangements and things like this, and one thing led to another that way. But it was the first time I performed with Frank, and that was really fantastic. I'm a big fan of his. Yeah.
Who isn't? I mean, everyone on this table, I guess.
Yeah.
Frank Brettschneider.
So
it's interesting that you work with voice as well, because I think, I mean, when it, if you did last time, it was probably pretty hidden, but
I didn't bring out the neural instrument for that set. I work primarily with my own language, which is really extending into analog electronics. And that's kind of my my communication system, right? And so I was working in that way. But I did bring in some vocals through a kind of telephone pickup. So, but it was very interwoven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Patrick, du arbeitest ja auch viel mit Vocals. Wir haben jetzt nicht so die super strong Vocal Tracks gesehen, aber ist das für dich auch ein Distinktionsmerkmal zwischen den einzelnen Projekten, die du hast?
Oh, maybe we stay in English?
Oh, we can stay in English. Maybe more they always natural. Ask me to translate.
No, but basically, I work a lot with vocals and I find it very interesting. I'm going to have a look on your work as well. Okay. So I'm actually also working on a game project at the moment with a friend, where we make the aliens talk and we're going to record the phonetic language to make like an essence of all the talked alphabet to have it as a surrounding atmosphere, like, which is going to be really kind of nice, I think. I imagine it really, really nice. And all of my songs, in some way, I do a lot of background noises with my voice as well. I always did and things like that.
Yeah,
we should definitely talk, because I'm currently doing some research.
We're talking right now.
We are talking. We're all talking into big furry microphones. And one of the things I've been exploring right now, which we are going to talk off mic, is the emotive complexity of imagined languages. And that extends to Martian languages that have been, you know, whether they're kind of pinpointed in different time periods, right? Encrypted languages, the language of Hildegard von Bingen, and things like this that through different times in history, we've made up languages to explore emotions in which our confined languages can, or, are conformed languages, right? So this is really an interesting area to explore, like the alien, like language system. How do we transact, right?
Mm-hmm.
Outside of conformity, it's really beautiful.
Or how language came upon people.
Yeah, where
I think Hildegard was really into that, right? Like if it was some sort of divine thing or some alien related.
Yeah, I mean, she was just
why
totally.
Why did people start to talk?
But I think what's so beautiful is that our phonetic way of sounding language is inherently so different from the character written language. We have that, it can stay the same for centuries, or at least for a longer period of time. But the way we talk changes so quickly, and we change this all the time, and a lot of emotion informs that. So that's really beautiful. We keep breaking the rules. That's totally. Nice, yeah.
I agree. No.
Melissa, how is your stand on vocals?
Well, my band, The Blow, is very vocal heavy. It's very front vocal. I would say vocals are very front forward, because it's our band is also like a performance art piece. You know, it's almost like a Laurie Anderson kind of feeling, in the sense that it's a monologue or a story. But it's also pop music. It's electronic, you know, experimental pop music that's made all with analog synthesizers and things like that. So it's more, I think, for me, vocals are incredibly important, because I think it's a way to talk about something that is incredibly abstract, that people can relate to no matter where they're from or who they are, what they do, you know? We can talk about these feelings. And I think really can, like this radio right now, it can just really go all the way through and, you know, into people's ears and into their hearts. And I think vocals to me are really interesting. Although my solo project that I'm working on now, I'm not working with vocals at all. I'm kind of interested in resonance, that is a vocal element, and working with that more in composition, which is new to me, but something that I'm really thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of your projects, Patrick, are very sample heavy, and also sources that are kind of sometimes funny and obscure, and like children's audio plays and stuff like
that. It's a big mix. Like, I always did, like, used a lot of old material too, or really absurd sample sources in some way, but also like a lot of choirs or a lot of things that are coming in there as an instrumental part. Where, and nowadays the possibilities got also really easy to transform the voice recording into a complete different instrument as well. So, but it always adds some organic element which I really like, which you cannot all imitate, I think. And neither could AI so soon, I would say.
Absolutely. I think that the human component is something that you just can't seem to simulate and replicate. Mm-hmm. And it's these uncharted points. You know, we can get to the exact way of sounding something, or we can get to someone who seems uncannily, you know, like a human replicant, or so on and so forth. There's something very human about, you know, the clumsy place in which we occupy, and the way in which we decidedly sound something. These things are not so algorithmically curated. Yeah.
And what inspires your lyrics?
Well, the lyrics, I mean, themselves are not lyrics at all. In terms of the vocal works, they're utterances, I would call them. They're working with a neural mechanics that I've been working, kind of building software with a software developer to just kind of chart the course of breaking down granular information of vocals. So everything is really broken down. There's nothing that you can sound necessarily, but there's this human component. You can still understand that there's there's a human element present, and it's utterances. It's kind of all of the diphthongs, the vocal, the vowel sounds in between, right? The attacks, or so on and so forth. So there's a lot of things going on there that we get into the space in which our mouths are moving, but we're not making, you know, clear words. And I think this is really beautiful space to get lost in.
Like I just did.
It's a good space.
It is. It's lovely.
So
I think we're in an interesting time too, as far as vocalization goes, because I think we're using technology in a different way, like the way that people are using vocoders, and they're using, you know, tuning that you can do live now to adjust your voice, like the way that in pop music, like Rihanna or something like that, like she can't physically sing that way. This is the way that we've decided that we're going to play with technology, almost like the person is there, but there's also an instrument that they're playing that's beyond their vocal cords. And I think that's like curious. And I think I could see something happening in the future where that would be like an interface in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's already software, no? They promote it very heavily, like that you really do control the whole DAW, the digital workstation with the voice.
With your voice.
Do the synths and stuff like that. Yeah.
You can just sing it out and it notates it. Yeah.
Yeah, and more, even like part-wise, it's actually kind of.
It's kind of the further development of how I saw Michael Jackson do his composing, because he couldn't write music, and he really sang.
He would sing the parts,
and
then people would play them.
Would play them. He really sang out all the songs in their different tracks and voices. So, you know, it's interesting that to think that. Yeah, you don't use your hands anymore, you know, you become a brain, like, maybe, you know, soon there will be transmitters directly from the
brain. In some way it's also very honest. I mean, it's great if everybody really just can realize the ideas that one has in their mind. It's also really good.
I think you had mentioned, Melissa, Laurie Anderson before, and when you mentioned the Michael Jackson reference, it made me think of an interview that Laurie Anderson had, where she would say to her crew of musicians, let's say, Anna 1, Anna 2, Anna, but in between the Anna 1 and a 2, her arms were moving and she was going, Anna swish, swish, Anna 2. And it wasn't 1 and a 2, it was 1 and a swish, da, da, and a 2.
Yeah.
And this becomes part of your own personal, right? This is your own computation. This is your own system that you're trying to sound out. And do other people pick up on it, or can they not? And to me, I'm in love with that. I'm in love with that space that you can't decidedly pinpoint and you can't map easily to any software, any other system, that we kind of take things our own way. In the show I have up currently, I have this piece called Stay Tuned, which is, I had asked a lot of people, friends essentially, to sing a tone between 1,000 hertz and 200 hertz. 1,000 hertz being the broadcast bars and tone. This is something I'm very well acquainted with before we go live, right? And things like this. And what I was met with was such a beautiful thing of just the human way of thinking about matching a tone. We listen to something and we match it, but we don't really match it perfectly, right? We're not pitch perfect. We're not built that
very
way.
Few.
Or very, very few. Maybe some of us. The majority of us
are
know.
Are you pitch perfect?
Yeah.
I'm not. No. But there there's a woman around. I know she is.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
That's a good friend to have.
Yeah. Well, I can say decidedly I'm very much not pitch perfect. But what was so beautiful was how much of the voices were able to transact with one another and create such a beautiful sounding together, that you're interweaving between the imperfections and you're saying, oh, this is a human space too, right? And this is a beautiful space to be in. It was quite beautiful too. It also sounds nice. It's not like it's, you know, jarring. It's actually the space that we occupy, right? What we speak in, what we sing in, what we sound like. Yeah.
But I'm also fascinated by these phenomena where, you know, you start singing a tone with someone and then they more and more joining, and at some point you really kind of reach a level, you know, even though you think like, oh God, I'm so out of tune, and all of a sudden there's more to it than just like using your vocal apparatus, you know, there's this sort of, this human element or this connection as well, which is interesting. And I find it so interesting to talk about this with primarily electronic artists, you know? We're talking about something that is so basic human, you know, like the first instrument ever in existence, you know, like the vocal cords. So it's funny that you reference this, or that it's so important for you.
It makes sense that we're electronics artists that are obsessed with this, because I think electronic artists are obsessed with frequency. So we're like, what is the frequency of the voice? And what size are they? Or like, what does it take to do that? Or, you know, it's like your mouth, the structure from the interior of your mouth. You know, I mean, we're thinking about that because we have to build it, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little different.
Shall we listen to some music?
Let's do that.
Like a piece of your album from 2020, maybe?
Okay,
what
sure.
Is there one that you like in particular?
From the... Was it? Oh, the Aspidi? That album. Oh, okay. I don't know. Let's see. I can't remember everything from that album.
We can just start with the first one.
I had the Bashal Bashal album out in my head, but the Apsides album was out with Brian Chase's label, Shaken Records in New York. And it was the first time I was working also with this new instrument that was tracking space debris. So there's a kind of strange sequencing in a lot of these tracks. Yeah, I guess pick at random. I don't know.
Such a fine aus.
Yeah.
Doch, jetzt. Thank you.
know.
Okay.
Oh, we're on again.
Hello.
Okay, so we've been in the realms of Hildegard.
Yes, this was an earlier work that I was starting to explore, the imaginary language of Hildegard von Bingen. And that
is she very known in the U.S.? Or how did you come across her?
Curiosity. I don't know how well known anything is anymore, to be honest with you. But I would say that, you know, for anyone interested in, I don't know, language or music, this, you know, Hildegard comes into play. But what was amazing to me was listening to an imagined language that could articulate a place of a kind of spiritual presence or something that at least was a release from where you were now. And I thought, well, that's quite beautiful, isn't it? And so I tried to explore that, but in a way of breaking down language. This was the kind of first try at working with something from a kind of beautiful place of bringing in certain moments that were these words or ways of soundings, in particular the phonetic script that I was interested in. In particular, I started to get quite involved with the letter Z and Hildegard's fascination with the letter Z, which wasn't, of course, in Latin at all, but was in ancient Greek. And so bringing that into her language through sound was interesting too. But yeah, so this led to the more recent work with Pashal Pashal, which is the album out with the Raster, which we were talking about earlier, which was working with the phonetic shifts of language. But it also was quite interested in and working with how we have a kind of phenomenal talent for mimicking one another or for adapting to one another. If we're around another long enough, we start to pick up on each other's intonations and match them, and I think that's really quite beautiful. So that's what I was exploring in my latest album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Patrick, can you relate? Do you mimic or fake people in your vocals, or is this a source of inspiration, like how people, manners of speaking?
Not really existing people, but I had to do certain things where I imagined certain
because I was
characters.
I was thinking about the characters that you're incorporating.
Okay, of course, there was also the rap projects where I did these voices as well. Okay, that's a different thing. I wouldn't bring this up here now.
Well, I mean,
there's
it's
a
all
time and there's a place.
That's always okay. Experimentation.
I mean, yes, you know, it was.
It's not so serious really, as Hildegard von Bingen. Exactly. But who knows if she was?
She wasn't that serious. I think she was serious, but also she was She was good fun.
Well, she was also a druggie.
Yeah, just like us. No. Okay. Anyway. Yeah.
No, but it's nice to play around with voices. I think that's really one thing to. We all like.
Yeah, because I think this is also exploring one's own instrument, you know, when there's nothing else.
It's also a free space. It's a space where we don't have this is not articulated for us. We might have the letters mapped out. We learn how to write, we learn how to do these things and adapt, and the letter A then that comes from a house, or the letter, you know, B that, or B is a house and A is a bull and so on and so forth. But the sounding of the way in which our language is instructed only so far, but where we take it is kind of a chaos variable. And I love this. We go anywhere with it, and we have, you know? And I love that our free space is there in language. Yeah.
Okay, now I'm trying a transition, which is far-fetched, but because we're coming to the end of this half hour with you guys, and thank you very much for, like, following me here.
Thanks
when I was just
us.
Like catching you.
We followed you for a long way.
Yeah.
It was awkward. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, metaphorically and also directly, because I caught you in the fields here. What were your highlights today? Just a brief round. Like,
interesting. I'm really glad that they opened the space room again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
The Cosmodrome. Yeah.
The Cosmodrome. That's even better. Yeah. That's amazing. Although once when it was open before, I think it was 2019, I was here with my bandmate, they had that gyroscope thing. You could actually ride it.
Yeah.
And it was a little scary.
It's not running anymore?
No. No one was allowed to, to get
now
in.
No, you have to have another session. You have to come
back.
It's
pretty intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But something related to the fair?
Well, oh my gosh, there was so much. I'm a little overwhelmed. It's true. We saw a new module from Bella that I thought was really incredible. I'm a big fan of their work. And
Trails?
They are working on a thing called Trails.
What does it do?
It's basically an XYZ module. It has like an animation that you can use like four channels of control voltage, and you can almost paint them in. So it's very performative. And I'm a true believer that the way that you're controlling your rack or your synthesizers, it really has a huge outcome to the type of music that you're making, whether that be keyboard or that's, you know, ribbon controllers or, you know, however you're doing it, or, you know,
I so agree.
Buchla, the Thunderbird, you know, I mean, so
the interface is your it's part of your voice.
Yeah. So they're really working with something like that, and they toiled through the evening and made something that I'm so impressed with.
They do generally really nice stuff. Yeah. Also, their faders and certain things are great.
I love those.
So you checked out the Trails as well?
I haven't seen that, no. Okay. But I'm gonna do.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't sleep all night, so
they were
excited.
Yeah. Did you have another highlight for yourself?
Yeah, you know what, I have to say I was actually a bit curious about this premiere that GRM Tools Atelier by So it's the research program initiated from the kind of Music Concrete. I went back a few times during this fair, and I wanted to ask, like, okay, how much are you working with Urcam? Or, you know, I'm noticing that in this new software, you're able to work with a lot of, you know, going into sinusoidal wave movements, or you're working with stretching sound in this way, or you're working here, but also in a performative context, it looks like Max MSP, you're able to design this way. I'm like, I got to get under the hood of this thing. And I'm interested to explore more about this, but I wasn't able to get the person one-on-one. But I'm quite curious to know more about this software too, and which was also in the place where you could move around if that was open in
was
space.
Open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So there's that.
Are you going to be here any other days?
No. I'm actually flying out in the morning at 6 a.m. Hello.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so this
You're
was
taking
my,
it all in.
Yeah, this was my roller coaster today, personally. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, I think we're up for another piece of music. And thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you all. Mm-hmm. Thank
and
you so
I'm
much.
Glad to inspire some
nice
exchange.
You found us.
Yeah. happy to talk off mic about vocalizations and stuff. And see you all next year, I suppose.
See you again.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, thank you.